today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, I don't want to overdo it, but we do have to address some of these aspects of the announcements in the budget yesterday and how they impact on us. There's some of the details will certainly be welcomed by people up here who have great concerns about us missing out from time to time. For example, you've got major projects granted funding, $150 million for the Cairns Marine Precinct, $50 million for the CQ University Cairns campus. There's $107.5 million. This is the Cairns Water Security Package. Now, Bob Manning, to his credit, has been banging the drum on this matter for some time, and that's now actually emerged and was given a level of certainty by announcement yesterday. We've also been talking this morning briefly about the hundreds of million dollars for the Caranda Range Road revamp. Invariably, there's a level of cynicism that's always expressed when discussing the Caranda Range Road. Why? Because you can go back, I don't know, 30 years anyway, when we had the member for Cook as the main roads minister for the state of Queensland, and he put out all these wonderful drawings and of tunnels and bridges and whatever else, and that's like 30, 35 years ago, and still no work. So there is a level of cynicism as soon as the Caranda Range Road is mentioned. Now, let's go to some of these positives. And a gentleman who I think will be welcoming some of these certainly is the Chairman Advance Cairns, Nick Tromp, who is on the line at the moment. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, John.
How did you receive the news as far as how we fared last night?
I think we're one of the luckiest regions in Queensland, to be honest, John. If you have a look at the list of projects that the new government has scrapped across other parts of regional Queensland, particularly big water infrastructure projects like Hell's Gate and unfortunately the Huendon irrigation scheme, albeit the language there says deferred, not cancelled. But there was a litany of projects that they said they were going to get rid of. Thankfully, none of those major projects are in your listening area in our footprint, which is a good thing. And we did end up getting a substantial slice of the pie and the best part of $500 million all up in election commitments in it, and you've touched on pretty much all of them.
Now, I really want to discuss with you, because you've been red hot on this for years, what's happening with our port, the Cairns Marine Precinct, $150 million. How significant is that?
Oh, very significant, John. And for your listeners' benefit, they may already know the state has matched that as well. So it's actually a $300 million project at this stage, which in my 21 years in Cairns, outside of roads, that's the second biggest infrastructure project since the rebuild of our hospital back in 2008. So that gives your listeners a sense of context of how important the project is in scale, but even more so the flow-on effect in terms of job creation, because defence-related work, which is not all of this precinct's work, but defence-related work has a massive supply chain flow on, and it creates lots of jobs directly in the Marine Precinct, but also with suppliers elsewhere. So, yeah, very, very important and heartening to see the money start to flow in the budget as soon as next year.
Actually, I don't know if we've talked in details since, not so much the dredging project, but the fact now that the dredging project is giving us these wonderful results with these huge ships. I think it was 114,000 tonnes came in a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, as soon as the project was finished, dredging was finished, COVID set in, so we didn't see the benefit. Now we're certainly seeing the benefit. And, of course, you and I, over the last 2 years, haven't spoken about that project and the long-term benefits. Well, they're becoming evident now.
Absolutely. I mean, originally that was done clearly for the tourism piece, and it's almost wall-to-wall cruise boats now that COVID is gone. So that's an incredible success story. But the other, I think, benefit that's flowed from this is that if we see the extra investment in defence that's likely to come and the potential for either larger vessels to be based here or larger vessels, i.e. frigates, to visit here, that extra draft or depth of water that's created through that dredging project has the added benefit of being able to bring in those big fellas as well. So, that's been a terrific project, which for 3 years or 2.5 years returned nothing due to COVID, but is now paying its way. And I can't remember the exact statistic, but I think it's right saying October and November, there's only a handful of days where there won't be a cruise boat in Canberra.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. Well, on the defence aspect too, it's interesting the money being spent on defence and the focus of some of that money, more of that money now, being spent on the Pacific because of the unrest there. Well, every time that happens, that's potentially a benefit to our port too, because fundamentally, as far as Australia's concerned, our port here in Cairns is the closest of all those ports to where the problems are.
Oh, absolutely. And we're the only operational Navy base in Queensland at HMAS Cairns. And it's very clear with the momentum that's now in the Defence Department. The Minister announced a major review just a couple of months ago to be finished by March, a piece of work that would normally take 2 years, and he's trying to do it in 6 or 8 months. That gives you a sense of the urgency. And last night in the budget, they did rip some funding out of various things, but they allocated more money to Pacific engagement, and we've been working, we and TradeLink PNG and a number of other organisations, to the Mayor, have been working hard to try to position Cairns as the operational base for the whole Pacific engagement piece. So you're absolutely on the money, John. It's got huge implications for us.
I got to say too, just yesterday, I think it was, might have been the day before, I had for the first time on the program your newly appointed Chief Executive, Jacinta Reddin. She's very impressive. Tell me about how you tracked her down.
Well, look, she is very impressive, John. I think, frankly, she'll be the most successful CEO the organisation's had in its history. And I know that's a big call, but I also know history. She's led Australia's largest international chamber of commerce in Hong Kong for 4.5 years and through a really turbulent period. She's lived and worked in the Asia Pacific for much of the last 25 years. I've known her since we were cub journalists in Warrnambool 38 years ago.
Oh, really?
So, yes, albeit that we've sort of not stayed close over that journey. We've just watched each other's careers from afar. And we were fortunate enough that her two daughters have now decided to study in Australia, and Hong Kong's not the place that it was under Chinese rule these days. So I think it was one of those lucky sliding doors moments that we were able to attract somebody who has such tremendous calibre, and her knowledge of our key markets out there in the Asia Pacific and her connections, John, are immense.
Just before you go, just looking into the future, let's go next, I don't know, 5 years or so of Far North Queensland, the as a tourism destination, sure, we're talking that all the time. But now, of course, there's any number of people saying, my God, it's getting dear to live 20% up for electricity before the end of this year, another 30% the following year, and rises after that with our transition to renewables. Is that going to be potentially a real challenge for us up here when it comes to making ends meet? A whole lot of people are getting concerned about these potentially soaring expenses.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think that's Australia-wide, John, but it is it has implications for us. We're obviously in a very hot climate, and lots of people burn lots of air conditioning, albeit Hobart and Victoria, they burn lots of heating. So, there's a bit of 6 to 1/2 dozen. But look, it does have real implications for living costs everywhere. Costs of housing here have increased a lot, as you've talked about, over the last couple of years. But I think it's important to give that context, because they went sideways for 14 years. There was no growth.
Yeah.
So if you stand up houses in Cairns and compare them to the Sunshine Coast and Gold Coast, which historically values have tracked over similar patterns, you could buy two houses in Cairns, if not three, for what you pay for one on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
So Cairns is still very affordable relative to those other desirable destinations. And really, we're seeing a new wave of arrivals now. COVID, bizarrely, we thought it would be the death knell of the city, is actually probably going to be, in hindsight, one of the best things that's happened, because it's opened up so many other opportunities. So no, I think we should look forward to the future with confidence, but absolutely acknowledging that there is a bit of pain in mum and dad land with cost of living.
Exactly. Very good update. Good on you, Nick. Thank you.
Anytime, John.
That's Nick Trumpf. He's the chairman, Advance Cairns.